Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
doing great. I'm just putting some lipstick on too. My lips were feeling a bit dry.
No.
Being in the Northwest, it's cold.
Well, I'm here in San Diego. It's not too cold, actually. It's like 78 outside. I'm gonna go out for a nice little walk after our visit with you today.
Yes, it's I used to live down in Carlsbad. And on the beach, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite places to live.
I know. You know, I was thinking about buying a place in Carlsbad. I don't want Oceanside, and I don't want Encinitas.
Right.
But Carlsbad is right. It's nice.
Well, and it has a great village.
Right.
Right. I mean, Carlsbad's big, but I was actually a half a mile from the beach, so mm-hmm. It was walkable. But the village of Carlsbad is really sweet.
It is sweet. And the Italian food and the little eateries. I did that walking tour of Carlsbad. It was fabulous.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been there, but it's one of my favorite places.
Well, I'm hoping that the Edge is one of your favorite places. The place right here where the conversation is pointed and the guests are sharp. Look at her. And the responses are never dull, brains. Today we have Darla Claire. She's an artist. I mean, can you tell that? Everything about her exudes art. She told me that she previously lived here in California in Carlsbad, one of my favorite places. We're going to talk about not good enough. What does that mean? And how she applies hypnotherapy to her groups and helps them with art therapy to express themselves in the most delightful way through color. You see, I love color. It makes me happy. So help me welcome her to the Edge today, Darla Claire. How are you, beautiful?
Thank you for having me. I am doing great. As you can see from behind me, I do fill my life with color and softness. The world that we live in today is not so soft. There's so many different things coming at us and so many different areas and angles. So my personal space is filled with color and softness because my energy is most important, how I move through the day. And so I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Again, the world is just topsy-turvy. I would have never thought that I would be living, as you know, your grandmother, you've probably heard them say, oh, we're living in the last days. Well, girl, I really didn't think I was going to be here. I thought I'd be somewhere fluffing my wings. And here I am. But there's an opportunity to reevaluate where we are, reposition where we are, express who we are, identify, recognize. It's a bunch of adjectives that we could use. What do you do with your clients and the work that you do to really kind of help them come into the fold, to touch reality? Because I think we're living in the abstract.
Well, we are living in the abstract. However, and I think that's just part of our experience here in the world. And I think part of it is letting go of all those outside influences and just getting in touch with who we are as a human walking through this world. And for me, it's my intention for myself first, because we come first, otherwise we can't serve other people well. I want to be centered. I want to feel good. I'm very, very aware of how I feel. And if something doesn't feel right, or if something's not right, I then have to recenter myself and make sure that I'm on in the place I want to be in. And I'm so adamant about this because there was a time in my life for many, many years, I was living in chaos, abuse, And it was really, first of all, when I really noticed it, because I didn't know that that wasn't normal, but my body was telling me it wasn't normal. I was getting sick. My thyroid was off the, you know, was destroyed, just different things. So I had to come to a point where something needed to change. And that's when I was doing a run. I was running. That was one of my ways of getting out my feelings and emotions. So I would go for a jog or a run. And I was at a point in my life where I was not happy. I was miserable and I didn't know what to do. I just thought, and in fact, I said, well, this is my life. I just have to accept it. But then I heard, whether it be my God source or from my intuition, I heard this negative part of me that said, you can't do this, just stop. You can't do what you want to do, so just give it up. But then almost immediately after that, I heard through God or whatever, that who am I not to do this? Who am I not to be happy? Who am I not to be creative? Who am I not to be a strong woman? Who am I not to be happy?
Exactly. And so
those two things, you're not good enough, you got to stop, quit doing it. And the other side of me said, who am I not to do this, changed my life. It was the beginning of my life changing, because I took that, it was so, such a powerful moment in my life, me running around Tampa Bay. I was running around the bay. I was living there then, and it was hot and stinking hot and stinking hot.
I
drug myself home, kind of like I felt defeated at first, but I kept hearing that voice. Who am I not to be who I'm supposed to be?
Because it's not, it's even on the flip side of that, when people, something devastating happens to them in their life, you know, it's not personal. No. We all get a turn at the wheel, but it's how we receive it and how we process it and what we do with it.
Yeah.
Some people conceive, and at that particular point, you were at that point of just, settling. But then God intervened and said, you know what? This is not you, my child. You're just in a slump.
Yes. And
I will call the devil a liar to his face.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to feed into that. Sometimes this pause, this, as I like to call them, kerfuffles, this minor inconvenience, is a learning, is an opportunity for you to stabilize. Absolutely. I see that you have, Asian Buddhas and wisdom surrounding you. You know, I've been in temples in Canada and China and Tibet that have really blown my mind. You know, people live in utter silence. They don't even talk.
Yeah.
And everything in their life is just so simplistic. How can we get back to the simple pleasures of life, Darla?
Well, you know what? It's getting to know yourself. I mean, I had been programmed and exposed to really uncomfortable things that were not me. They were not me. And I always felt uncomfortable with it. And it was that point when I was running on the, I was at the point of giving up. And just like, well, this is just my life. This is, I've got to be with, you know, an abusive person in relationship. I have to do this and that. It's just my draw in life. And that God voice said, no, that's not your life. That's not your life. You have a great life to live. You have possibilities and things that you're here for. And so, and that was really a great, great moment. And I've never looked back. You know, I had to, some things I had to do that were hard and difficult to get to where I am today. But it was, and that was just in the first early part that was really difficult. But once I made a few decisions and a few pieces of action, because we have to act, right?
We have to act.
So I had to take some action.
But you need to act strategically.
Absolutely.
You need to act with a plan. You know,
yes.
You cannot be chaotic. You cannot be disheveled. You can't be too angry.
No.
Because if you are angry, you are plotting revenge. And when you plot revenge, you have to dig two graves.
Yes. The one thing was, I had, with my course, I had to become angry at first, because anger can fuel the fire. It can fuel you to do something. Before I was actually quite depressed and despondent. And so I was not acting.
Right.
But then I went up the scale and I got angry, which moved me to the place I wanted to go. I'm not an angry person. I'm a person.
No, you don't seem like it at all.
I'm a person of love and just wanting to have beautiful things and just have a good energy. And because I feel better when I'm in that space of good energy than I do of anything of.
So what happened when you, the day that you flipped the script on this abusive personality and they really saw a different side of you?
Yes.
What was that like? I mean, you know, it was shocking, I'm sure, for that individual. They didn't think that you had it in you, but did you feel a sense of power? Did you have a newfound?
I did, but I had to be very careful. Right. I did. And just showing my sense of new power or whatever could be dangerous. So I actually had to just take the right steps. I had people on my side that were there to help me once I had told them what was going on and what I needed and wanted to do. So I took steps. I had counsel with some people that were very wise. And so then I just took those steps. And I kept putting one step in front of the other, one step in front of the other, until then I really feel I was free to be me, not free, just free to be me. And once that gate opened up for me, I started playing with art. I started, I have a group of women that, they were the Rogue Moxies in Southern Oregon, that we were just a group of women that were supporting each other in their businesses and, you know, things like that, just support and became a tribe. We became a tribe of support. It was started out as mostly for kind of business, you know, supporting their businesses, but it became, we're women, we're whole. We want, there's more facets to us than just business.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
So that's what we did, which they were a great support for me. I became a great support for them. I became very interested in how the mind works, because I was dealing with someone who was damaged. Mm-hmm. So
to put it politely. Yeah.
I'm being polite again,
but hurt people.
Yes, exactly.
And it is intergenerational trauma, epigenetics.
Absolutely.
That's been going on for a while.
Yes.
And, you know, hopefully this person realizes that this is not the best behavior, that there's more to life. You are alienating people from you that could love you and could support you. So hopefully they find a learning. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, well, the thing is that I had to just remove myself of any even hope for him. Mm-hmm. This was my turn. Whatever, I don't wish any badness, but I would just like, he's gone. Whatever happened, I'm not even going to think about it. Right?
No, you can't. So, you can't continue to let that fill up in your head, because
not at all.
That's a part of the neuro-linguistic programming. That's a part of the script that
it
you
is.
Keep reading inside and out. And the movie never ends. You
Absolutely.
Never play it out.
Absolutely.
So you really tapped into that and you started doing some hypno.
Yes, so I became a master certified hypnotherapist. Neuro-linguistic practitioner, and live.
I'm getting ready to do that. I'm going to sign up in a month. Let's see, what is this? In the spring, I'm going to sign up for an NLP course. They say it's pretty intense.
It's very intense. It's very, very intense. And the beauty of it is that some of the programs and some of the tools that they have and they train you in is so healing. Mm. It is healing. I mean, when you go through the group, you will be healed.
They will lay hands on you, okay?
Because you have to practice. You have to, you know, you're learning all these new tools about how our mind works. Mm-hmm. And you learn all those tools. And so they teach you the tools, but then you have to then experience I became a hypnotherapist, and I have clients that I have helped because of this, but it helped me first.
Right. I practice it, you know, I practice it every night before I go to bed. I already kind of preset the next day. And yeah. You know, when I hear that negativity, I'm like, ooh, pump the brakes. But also I am a realist, because negative things are going to happen. That is a part of the process. But again, it is how you process it. It's how you receive it. Do you take it as a learning? Do you take it as a defeat? Does it depress you? Does it cause anxiety? Or does it exhilarate and excite you?
Right.
You know, so you have to figure out how to do that, brains. And I know it's not easy. And we toss all these terms and ideas out, and there's people out there that are actually struggling. But we want you to know that there are options and there's choices, like painting.
Exactly. Like painting is one of my meditations. And so I tried painting, and I've had some breakthroughs with my painting, even as recent, just a couple of months, because I would start to paint something I wanted to paint. I had ideas of how I was going to paint them, and I could do that. But then a shift happened to me a few months ago where I just started asking the painting what I should do next. Mm. What did the painting want? What did the painting want? And my paintings and my art have changed in a really good way. And I'm just now in the process of creating a website. It'll probably be finished by late next week or early February of my art.
Oh, and we're going to share that. So yes, give me the link to that.
Yes, it's darlaclaire.com. It will be. Right now I just have a landing page, but we're creating my website for that. I've had so many people ask me, can you buy this? How can I buy this? And I've just been holding people back.
I wasn't ready. Time for you. Right. Well, you have to be ready.
I wasn't ready. And I'm that kind of person. I don't want to be pushed by other people to do things.
You put up with that long enough.
Yes. And so now I'm ready to do that. So I'm doing the back work in order to.
Now, are you going to also be teaching like some online classes? We love the paint and sip, honey. You'd have a customer with us, because my brain love. I always feature a nice little party for them, six or eight once every quarter to do something fun. And painting is something that they really love to do. You acrylics, watercolors? What is your...
I started out with some watercolors, but really, and that was a long time ago, and I had no training, just nothing at all. And I've taken a course. And now I'm doing acrylic, mostly acrylic. I do some, what do you call it when you multimedia? Sometimes I'll take a decoupage with like some old music, sheet music, and put that on. And then that I let that the painting then go from there. Mm. Or I have done that. And ink. you know, and crayons and charcoal and stuff like that. That's what I do. I will probably one day switch over doing some oils because there's a different depth of oils than acrylic. But the acrylic
paintings, the watercolors wear me out. Mine run together. I don't know how. I shouldn't say there's any, I can't, because that's not good NLP. I have not mastered that. And when I do master that, it's very difficult. Those colors run together. You got to have an idea what you're doing. You can't just put it on canvas. You've got to have the right kind of paper that will absorb it. You got to have an outline. It's different.
Well, it's like with watercolors, actually, like with painting that, you just wet the spots you're going to paint. Like if you want to make a leaf of a flower, you just make that leaf in water first, and then you drop your color in. And then you can drop more colors in to get it that just juicy colors and things. But there's ways of that so that it don't.
Are you teaching online courses at all?
I have just been me. I mean, I've just been taking this COVID
this
COVID experience, and I've decided during this, I didn't think it was going to last this long, but it was.
It's not going away.
I know.
The flu and tuberculosis, you may not suffer as much as you did, but you best believe that there's going to be a booster recommendation every day. I heard in the news today they want booster number 4.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. So anyway, so I haven't been teaching yet but I do have a course that I've been working on in the background.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I have my course that I when I heard that voice when I was in Tampa, the good versus evil, I created a workshop around that because the process I went through and how I got out of it and how I changed my life was a step by step. And so, but now I'm in the process of creating a artistic way of doing it. So I have the program and it's got art in it already, but I want to expand the art portion of it.
So many individuals, especially children, speak through art as a way of releasing trauma.
Yes.
And explaining what's happened. You know, you have a 4 or 5 year old that doesn't have much life experience and they've seen something. They can tell. If there's something going on at the home, the teacher can tell by how they're drawing their pictures or their stick figures or
absolutely,
you know, all of those type of things. With adults, it triggers something different though in your brain because you are able to recognize what you've been through, recall what you've been through, and know how it makes you feel. Colors are very significant in telling those stories. Do you find that certain situations draw you to certain colors and certain textures?
Well, as far as the psychological part of it, yes, for sure. I mean, like with I have a program called the Saboteur Muse Project, which I've done, and it's an art project, but it's also dealing with that negative voice that tells you can't do it. And then the other voice, which I call, so I have my saboteur, we all have a saboteur or saboteurs, depending on how you want to create or put together that part of you. And then I call the other part, the good voice, God voice, my muse. So what we do in this program is we create a visual with art of our saboteur. And so when I first did this, my saboteur was all gray, black and white. There was no color except for her shoes. And her shoes were red, which I thought that was interesting. But then we take our saboteurs, no matter how they look like or whether they're abstract or they're like a person that you can relate to, but it's not, you purposely can't draw a picture of like a relative that's been abusive to you, but just somebody else, but it's your saboteur. That voice in your head that tells you what you can't do and all that. But then we end up at the end, when it's all done and said, we actually end up loving our saboteur. We end up loving that part of us, but we give them a job.
Wow. A
different job that they're good at, right. Not a job of sabotaging you.
So you reframe it.
We totally reframe it. And you have a piece of art too. And then we do the same thing with our God, you know, or our muse. I'm calling her amused for me. That's the words that came to me. And she's the one that knows that, you know, I'm going to have a great life. I'm going to do the things I want to do. It's like all, I have the power from up above when I'm, you know, in that zone with her. And she's my, you know, she's the one that's like, just do what you want to do, live big life, have fun, do what want to do. So then you do paint or draw or represent that person. And so then this is what we do at the end. We take all the writings, because we write about these things.
Okay.
And then we write, and then we actually then cut the paper up in strips for your saboteur and for your muse, and we create a weave. And then there's nothing stronger than a weave. When we don't just like throw away that bad part of us, no, we reframe who they are, that part of us. And then we take our muse, our spirit guide, our God source, and then you in the middle, and you make a weave with them. There's nothing stronger than a weave. You get that really sense of being strong, and we're unbreakable then.
Right. It's a bond.
Yeah, it's a bond, you know, and instead of, because I know I've been through different programs where, oh, you throw away that part of that person, or you have a ceremony and you burn them, you know, and whatever, but that part of you existed.
Right.
And part of it can still exist because we've reframed that part of us. And there's got to be something of that side of us that has something that's good or something that you could use. Like mine was... we gave them names of not anybody we know. So this, my saboteur, I called Nora. I don't know Nora. I don't know any Noras. I couldn't name her after my mother, you know, just anything like
right,
that.
Right.
Give them a name. And then what would this person do for work? You know, what are they good at? You know, we find out everything they hate, you know, and stuff, but
you know that,
what are they good at? What if I were to give them a job, what job would they have? Well, mine was very, very, everything had to be in its place, everything, this and that, very organized, whatever. So her job for me is to help me be organized when I ask her for help, only when I ask.
So don't pop up unless you're requested.
Only, exactly. And don't. I mean, that's the thing. They don't pop up. And so just to keep everything in balance, every once in a while, when I, like, my studio is a disaster, I'm showing you the clean part.
I just did a teachable moment on that. Messy.
Messy.
Because abundance cannot grow in mess.
Right.
And so I have to keep looking at my desk because I clean it and then it turns into a mess. Right. And then they say, well, you know, creatives are messy people. Well, you know,
that's not
necessarily true. I don't know. What do you think?
That is. Well, for me, when I'm painting and when you get into the zone, for me,
right,
I'm just grabbing, throwing paint, doing this and that and grabbing stuff. And so it can get a little crazy in the studio part, in the painting section.
Right.
Right. But my house is immaculately clean. And I just like the
mine is too, but my personal space here in the office sometimes can be wicked.
Exactly.
But you're in that space, and that's where you feel that you can reveal who you are, that you can be a mess, that you can cry, that you can reassess things, you can reframe things, you can be creative. So it's okay. Messy is okay too.
It is. And so I have that balance of that, you know, and so that's so it's really like, we need to be balanced. We need to be balanced. And we need to, especially before I had the aha moment, my life was a mess.
Right.
right? It was a mess, but so now it's organized, but it's also very creative. I'm who I am. I have no apologies about who I am. And my main goal is to love my life.
So let me ask you a question, Darla. Are you in a relationship right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
So after this event that I had in Florida, it took me a little while to get it all together and start a new life. And out of the blue, and I live in Ashland, Oregon, and it's a small little town, the first town out of over the California border. It's a beautiful little town and it's a beautiful area. So, but it was small, but out of all the places, so I had a woman that I was getting a massage from or something, and she called me up a day later, and this was my first massage with her. And she also was a member of my Rogue Moxies, right? So, and she was new in town and stuff. So a day after, maybe a day or two after my massage, she called me up, and then she was kind of hesitating on the phone, and I'm thinking, what did you find? Did you find something from my session with you? And, and she goes, well, no, I was wondering if you would consider dating. And I said, what? Maybe. It depends. I actually said it depends. So long story short, he's from Australia.
I've got a large Aussie following.
Yeah. So he's from Australia, from Melbourne, and he and I are married. And we have the best relationship. He's my best friend, my ally, my everything. I mean, we have such a wonderful, wonderful, easy, fun relationship. And I'm just like, I feel like I'm a very blessed woman.
Yeah, you are, because you've got a first chance at love. I wouldn't say a second chance at love, and now you know what it feels like, and you won't accept it any other way.
And you're exactly right by saying I've had my first chance at love, because this is the first love relationship that's truly a full love relationship. It's not on the surface of how somebody looks or what they're doing or being too immature as kids or whatever. You know, we have a wonderful relationship, and it's wonderful.
Well, I'm glad, because you deserve all things wonderful. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, to what we have to look forward to, and how to reach out to you, Darla.
Well, you can reach out to me on my email at Darla. Well, wait, I'll give you the one that is best. It's D Claire. The letter D, and then Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E, the number 7 at Gmail. And if anybody, if people are interested in my story of my book, it's called I Changed My Mind, It Changed My Life. And this...
Let me see that again. Hold that up again. We want to give you full view on that. Is that on Amazon?
It is on Amazon.
Pulling up just a little bit. There you go.
Yeah, it is on Amazon. And if people would want a signed copy, they can email me and I will send them. They can buy it from me for a little less than on Amazon, but it'll be signed. So it's available through me, or it's on Amazon. It's other bookstores too can get, you know, get it as well.
That's wonderful that you were able to document the process.
I documented the process. I went, you know, starting as why this happened, you know, as a child, things happened to us. And then we start, you know, I could see where I was going and why I ended up with that person, and then how I changed my life, and how I have changed, you know, healed some relationships and things like that. And how, and the Saboteur Muse project that I was talking to you about, is this is how it became. And so it's in here. The Saboteur Muse project is in here. So
well, Brains, we want you to run out and get a copy of that. I think that would be a nice read out on your patio in the springtime with a nice libation, and gain some inspiration. Maybe some watercolors.
here's this. I'm going to show you my saboteur.
Oh.
See her red shoes, but that was her wearing that suit. No color. That was her. And I'll just look to see if I can quickly find my muse. It's got to be, it's in here. It's not too, I should have had this tagged.
Oh, go ahead, take your time.
But okay, here's my muse is a bit wild looking. Oops, can you
put over it? Oh, wow.
That's my muse. Okay. Notice her hand has like paintbrushes and flowers, and that's her fingers.
Right.
Yeah. And then when I was talking about the weave, where we weave the two together with how they're talking, you know, in our heads. And so here's a weave that we create.
Okay. Ah, okay. Very, very textures, very textile.
Yeah, but it's when you weave something together, during the process of going through and learning all this and getting all the information that I call it my download. I had done my saboteur and my muse, and I thought I was done, but then I kept her all of a sudden in my mind, I kept getting the word weave. And I was going around and I started saying it, weave, weave, weave. I had no idea what weave was. Mm. And then all of a sudden, one day it hit me. Well, I looked it up, actually. I looked up what weave meant. And there's really nothing stronger than a weave, as far as, you know, even the all the stuff. It's in everything, cables, ropes, everything. It's just really one of the
strongest. Baskets.
Can't be broken. Right? Yeah. Can't be broken. So that's what that weave was supposed to be for us, to weave the saboteur that and my muse and myself together, and we can't be broken. So it was really really healing.
It is, and it's a beautiful metaphor.
Yeah.
So brains, I want you to go in and weave together the fabric of your life. Get a great book, do something creative, music, art, maybe a science project, maybe gardening. But do something to release yourself of anxiety. Find an exit plan. If you are a woman or a man that is being mistreated, abused, there is help for you. We will definitely post the number in the show notes. Find an exit strategy. Be strategic. Maybe your anger can ignite you to move. Or look at your anger and see if it is causing you to be destructive. And that can be self-destructive. And paint a pretty picture. You got a blank canvas. So thank you so much, Darla, for being here on the edge with me and my brains. We want you to go in, join the groups, like, love, subscribe, leave comments. That's how we grow. That's how we ever evolve. We don't want to stay stuck in the same place. Life is a smorgasbord, and we want you to have plenty on your plate.
It is. Thank you. And also, probably next week, darlaclaire.com will have my art on it, so you can check it out.
Check it out and, you know, see what she's got to offer. Thank you so much, Darla. You are a princess.
Thank you, April.
All right. Bye, brains.